Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Greenply Industries Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Market Securities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Sir Karan from Asian Market Securities Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mark. Hi, everyone. Good evening. On behalf of Asian Market Securities, we thank you for joining us on the Greenply Industries 2Q and first half FY26 conference call. In the panel today, we have Mr. Manoj Tulsian, Joint Managing Director, CEO, Sanidhya Mittal, Joint Managing Director, and CFO, Mr. Sanjeev. May I now invite Manoj to begin the proceedings of the call. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Karan, and good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to have you all on this call. I will be updating to you on Greenply's operating and financial performance for quarter 2 in H1 FY2026. As communicated during our last call, we have been able to grow over Q1 FY26 in both our segments. Also, during the quarter, we have achieved revenue growth on a YOY basis, and we are confident that the same momentum will continue in H2 also. The gradual progress in BIS implementation and steady timber prices continue to provide a favorable environment for organized and branded players like us. On the marketing strategy, I would like to share that Greenply campaigns primarily focus on the premium green range. However, communication has now been extended to the value segment, with Ecotech effectively addressing the affordability-driven consumer base. The latest campaign, Kaam Sahi Daam Sahi, has actually positioned the brand effectively. With a focus on practicality and smart spending, the campaign has witnessed remarkable traction, driving strong brand recall and reinforcing Ecotech's standing in the mid-price category. We have also commenced advertising for its fast-growing MDF category, focusing on building stronger awareness. Through this free brand communication approach, Greenply has strategically enhanced the visibility of its product portfolio across key market segments, spanning the premium green range, value-focused Ecotech products, and the growing MDF category. I would like to share with you that we have achieved a consolidated quarterly revenue of Rs. 688.6 crore, which is a growth of 7.5% on a YOY basis. Our consolidated core EBITDA for the quarter was Rs. 56.8 crore, with a core EBITDA margin of 8.2% compared to 9% in corresponding quarter, a decline of 80 basis points. On a half-yearly basis, our consolidated revenue was at Rs. 1289.4 crores, which is a growth of 5.3% on a YOY basis. Our consolidated EBITDA was at Rs. 118.4 crores, which is a growth of 2.5% on a YOY basis. The EBITDA margin was at 9.2% as compared to 9.4% in H1 FY25. PBT before the losses on equity accounted investees, foreign exchange gain loss as an adjustment to finance cost and exceptional item is at 83 crores for H1 FY26, which is a 15% YOY growth as against PBT of 72 crores in H1 FY25. The profit after tax was Rs. 44.4 crores. Let me now share the highlights of our individual business segments. We observe a significant demand for mid-value segments during quarter, resulting in an average realization per square meter of Rs. 242, a 3.5% decrease year-on-year. On the margin front, our core EBITDA margin for Q2 FY26 was 8.2% compared to 7.9% in previous quarter. The margin improved on a quarterly basis by 30 basis points. On half-yearly basis, we have achieved a revenue of Rs. 995.5 crores, a growth of 3.1% on a YOY basis. Our volume growth for the first half of the year is 2.5% YOY. Our core EBITDA grew by 2.9% on a YOY basis to Rs. 80.6 crores in H1 FY 2026, and the EBITDA margin stood at 8.1%. Moving on to MDF business, our revenue in Q2 FY26 was rupees 146.8 crores and volume at 47,018 CBM, which is a growth of 16.1% and 15.9% on a YOY basis. We successfully expanded our manufacturing capacity from 800 CBM per day to 1,000 CBM per day during this quarter. Production during the quarter was temporarily impacted by the expansion-related shutdown, as mentioned above, resulting in moderate margins of 8.3%. The margin decline during the quarter is one-off and is primarily due to three factors: reduction in finished goods inventory resulting in under-absorption of overheads, liquidation of old and non-moving inventory at a higher discount resulting in lower realization, and outsourced material consumption to temporarily balance the market needs. However, with operations now fully normalized with enhanced production capacity, we are confident of a strong rebound in the second half and expect to return to double-digit margin levels as well as double-digit volume growth. More details on the MDF business will be shared by Sanidhya. Moving on to our furniture and fittings JV, we have achieved sales of 11.4 crores in Q2 FY26, achieving half-yearly revenue of rupees 17.9 crores. The JV reported a PAT loss of rupees 11.8 crore in Q2 FY26, with our share of the loss amounting to rupees 5.9 crores and half-yearly PAT loss of rupees 22.6 crores, with our share of the loss amounting to rupees 11.3 crores. As these are initial period and the brand has to be built up to compete with the premium brands in the country, we'll continue to invest significantly in brand building also. Our consolidated net debt stood at rupees 510 crores at the end of current quarter. As previously communicated, this will further reduce with the liquidation of excess inventory which started from this quarter onwards, and hence we remain confident that our debt equity ratio will be in the range of 0.5 despite further capex in H2. With respect to our operations at Greenply Middle East Limited, we have further reduced exposure of our guarantees from USD 3.8 million to USD 2.7 million. As a result, our contingent liability has also decreased from INR rupees 32 crores to almost 24 crores. With this statement, I would like to hand it over to Sanidhya to provide some more insights on the MDF business. Over to you, Sanidhya.
Thank you, Manojji, and good evening to everyone on the call. Our sales in this quarter showed a 16.1% year-on-year improvement over the last quarter in terms of value terms. While during the quarter, our EBITDA margins were lower for the reasons highlighted earlier by Mr. Tulsiyan. However, we remain confident of achieving double-digit margins in the range of 16% in H2 FY26. We are confident that the second half of the year will see stronger revenue growth with improved operating efficiencies and driven by our focus on selling more value-added products. With this, I would like to open the floor for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Arpit Kumar from UNIFI Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. Firstly, on the BIS norms. So, after the implementation of the BIS norms for the industry, have you seen any noticeable shift in demand from organized players to unorganized players to organized players? And also, if you could highlight the benefits of BIS implementation for Greenply.
Okay, this is the first question.
Yeah, this is the first question.
So can you also, talk about your second question and then we can reply?
Yeah, sure. So the second question is, I just wanted to know your demand and supply outlook for MDF and plywood industry over the next 12 to 24 months. specifically how you see the demand momentum for the MDF industry and the capacity utilization.
Okay. So the first question is on BIS. So, you know, we can only tell you about how we are able to see things happening. It's a continuous process, so it's not like something that, you know, it's been done across the country and everyone, you know, has become BIS compliant. We think it's still miles to travel, but the initial signs are very good, encouraging, and, you know, we keep reading and we keep also coming to know from the industry that BIS is continuously conducting such not only at the manufacturing location, but also at the dealer point. And, you know, in a way, it's sending a very strong message to the trade and the manufacturers that, you know, people have to comply to BIS norms. The biggest benefit, if you really see, has come because the imports have reduced significantly. So, like, if you have to compare last year's versus this year's numbers, so imports this year compared to last year, both in MDF and plywood, is like 3 to 4% of last year's number. So that itself clearly says as the first level of improvement, which is there, and most of that was getting used at the level of, you know, OEM or the key manufacturers. So that traction is visible clearly. But as I said, it's a continuous process. You know, it will take some time, you know, for this to really show up even larger benefits for the branded goods player. And we are very, very hopeful that this will continue to benefit companies like us. In terms of the demand scenario on plywood, see, despite, if you really see, when you look at the real estate data, the residential data, there is a degrowth compared to last year, both in quarter one as well as quarter two. But still, if you really look at us, we have grown by around 7% in terms of volume. And we are very optimistic that in quarter three and quarter four also of this year, we'll be actually able to grow at 10% plus in volume. A, because of course, you know, this BIS, which is helping the trade, which is helping us. B, also because we have done a lot of improvements in our own process. We had hired a consulting service around a year back. And we started systematically, first of all, correcting the back end, which was our own supply chain, our production availability, and then getting into a lot of, you know, initiative on the sales side management and this. That has also started showing a very disciplined approach, which is also resulting into higher traction into the market. So we are very confident that, you know, from here on, you will be able to see better growth on Greenply, even in plywood as a business. In terms of outlook, look, you know, the Indian story remains very, very strong overall. These are few quarters where, again, as I said, the chips are slightly down, but I am very much sure that with the type of growth which all of us are talking about, this sector is still to really fire the residential sector again. And once that happens, then we can look at a much larger growth. We are very much prepared for the same. Sanidhya, you want to say anything on MDF outlook? And
I think demand in the MDF industry also remains strong. I think the imports are really down, even though the domestic competition is really tightened and, you know, significant today, which was a couple of years ago, it didn't exist, not that many domestic players. But with our brand and with our approach, I think we are very confident that we'll be able to sell our entire capacity. And we've already expanded our capacity, Manoj mentioned in his speech, I've mentioned, and now we're looking to quickly, you know, utilize the entire capacity. And I think H2 should be a display of that, if things go as per plan.
Yeah, 100%.
So what is the current capacity utilization you are at for Q2?
What?
For MDF? Yeah, MDF.
So MDF actually, you know, in Q2 we took a shutdown also. right? So, but if you look at it, whatever turnover we have achieved in Q2, that will utilize maybe around 70% of our capacity. So we are now good at capacity after this expansion on MPF.
Okay. Thank you. That answers my question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Udit Kajiwala from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking up my question. So, sir, in terms of MDF margin, you mentioned that H2 will be 16%. So, given that, you know, if there were no shutdown, was it just one-off? And how are you seeing the competitive behavior since they are taking a lot of price correction to push volumes? How is that rubbing off to the margins?
That is true. There are competitors sitting with large capacities to sell their capacities. They are undercutting. But that is in a particular segment to achieve a volume. So I think competitors with very, very large capacities, their focus is to sell the industrial grade or the interior grade, in which they are mainly cutting prices. Look at our realizations also. Our realizations have also slightly gone down. But we are very confident that, you know, we can still maintain a 16% margin for H2, given that now there will be operating efficiencies in this plant. You know, the 25% of the capacity has gone up, but, you know, the fixed cost remains almost the same. Hardly any change there. So, a little bit of reduction in the realization, little bit of cost increase, little bit of efficiency increase, I think they're back to square one. So whatever we were displaying or speaking about in Q1, I think we are maintaining the same. Obviously, Q2 was a one-off quarter because we originally shut down the plant for a month, but we took more than 40 days to actually get it up and running again. So we lost out on that, and that's the reason why you see these margins.
So quarter two is just a one-off case, right? So you should look at us how we did in quarter one. I think the scenario was almost similar in quarter one also. There's not much change which has happened on the pricing or the realization side, post quarter one. And so quarter two, like as we mentioned in the opening speech, that gave us an opportunity also to liquidate, some of our non-moving inventories because sales definitely had the target which they had to achieve. So in a way, it was good that, yes, some of those material went at a very heavy discount, which reflected in the margin also, which dropped to single digit. But good that we were able to free those as a capital. And in any case, it was either a non-moving or very slow-moving. And so I think there is, you know, and we are talking of now in H2, almost a higher double-digit growth. So you will see larger operating efficiency also getting into play because this 800 going into 1,000, we are not adding any costs. It's just that, you know, my production level goes up with almost the same level of people, manpower and everything, all my fixed costs. So we are pretty confident that, if we are able to achieve our higher double-digit growth, which also is visible, we will be able to get a margin also of 16% plus.
Okay, sir. So fair to assume you are not assuming any price hikes. So if any of the industry price hikes comes up, that will be over and above to what this margins could be. Is that a fair understanding or you all are factoring some price hikes?
No, we are not factoring any price increase at this point of time.
Okay, and post this expansion, what will be the split of capacity, you know, in the incremental specifically? How much more value-added products can we, you know, produce?
So I think this is the mainline capacity. So our press is going from 800 to 1,000. And all our balancing equipment were already designed as per 1,000. So it totally depends on our selling scales and, you know, our sales team's efficiency to go out there and look for more value-added sales. I think product mix is pretty much defined on sales, not because of the prep.
So there is no differentiation in terms of the, you know, the capacity within 800 or 1,000 that we can only produce up to this much of value-added products. It's like what Sanit is saying. It's totally dependent on our, sales orders and our, our strong work on the street.
Sure, sir. And just lastly, in plywood's working capital, we have seen some increase in the debtors. So is this just for, you know, with the spends or the your efforts you're making for the Ecotech brand, and how, when can we expect it to normalize?
No, I think sales is also higher. If you see compared to quarter one, if you're just comparing it with that, our overdue status has not gone up significantly between quarter one and quarter two. However, there will be an effort to bring down our overdue in quarter three and quarter four. So maybe there will be some amount of working capital release, which internally we are targeting.
Okay. And so this last question, to specify the 10% volume growth for H2, from that volume growth, can we achieve this 10% EBITDA margin that we are still, you know, eagerly waiting for the company to deliver?
See, raw material prices, which also we perceive that, you know, it will soften by quarter three. We at least still maintain that this year the raw material prices are very stable, and there is a most likely chance that the raw material prices may drop also. It can be end of quarter three, it may be in quarter four. And if that happens, then there will be an incremental, margin accretion which will happen. In any case, our H2 plywood targets are much better compared to our H1 numbers. So some level of operating efficiency will play. That's why we said our H2 margin will be better than H1. Our investments on the marketing spend is also quite high, because, you know, we have also started now, as I said, we have started investing on Ecotech as a brand when it comes to plywood as a segment. And we continue to even invest on our premium brand Greenply. So we are not cutting down anything on the marketing spend also. So keeping these things in mind, 10% may or may not happen, but, you know, at this point of time, for sure, we don't want to promise 10%. Yes, if we get very good growth, if we get a growth which is more than 15% for H2, then for sure our internal working says that we can even touch 10% plus margin for H2.
All right. Thank you for answering so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure the management can address questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to two per person. If you have a follow-up, kindly rejoin the queue. The next question is on the line of Kaushal Sharma from Equinox Capital Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Yeah. So my first question on your HDF flooring, like, we are doing CapEx on our HDF flooring. So when can we expect to operationalize this?
Currently, we are conducting trials. The machine is fully installed, and we are in the process of making samples and displays for the entire market. Early December, I think we should start selling commercially.
So what is the capex in this involved, and the capacity are we looking for?
I think the CFO can share that. I don't have that number handy, and I don't want to give you a wrong number.
Maybe we can share it afterwards. If it's not there, maybe he will also not have at this point of time. It's not a major capex.
It's a very small capex.
It's a very small capex, but maybe we can give the numbers afterwards to you.
Okay, sir. My second question is on your plywood business. Like earlier in the last call, you said our target is around double-digit growth in this segment with double-digit margin. But currently we are getting 3.1% year-on-year increase in H1 Financial 26 with core EBITDA 8.1%. So are we aligned with our target?
So as I mentioned, first thing, in quarter two, we got a volume growth of 7%. Our initial guidance was a 10% volume growth and also 10% margin for the full year. We had definitely missed out on the margin front in H1 because we could not register a growth of 10%. So somewhere, you know, this 10% margin is also related to our volume growth. And since we missed out on the volume growth, we have clearly missed out on our EBITDA guidance also. For H2, we are very, very comfortable. As we mentioned, that one, things like, you know, better BIS implementation, lower imports, raw material prices slightly more stable. And then, as we said, internally, we have done a lot of work taking support of a consulting firm also, which has now started showing results. from the last quarters. I mean, one, that internally building up a lot of better controls and processes, better measuring systems, as well as this, you know, getting into branding investment on Ecotec as a brand, which is the belly of the plywood business, is also showing us rich signs in the market. So we are very confident now that double-digit growth in volume in H2 is doable. And if it goes to a higher double-digit, then maybe we can even surprise the market by actually giving a 10% plus EBITDA in H2. But we don't want to promise that at this point of time. And if you're able to achieve a 10% plus EBITDA this year in H2, then for sure we are in double-digit margins in plywood business for next year.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And my last question, just want to know that one clarification. I have seen your consolidated result, and we have generated some exceptional gain around 4.43 crore by selling 30% stake in our Greenply Middle East Limited. But the overall consideration is around 4.25 crores, but we have generated gain of 4.43 crore. So why the amount is not mismatched? There is some mismatch in this amount.
Actually, this happened in quarter one. And, you know, whosoever asked for, we provided a full reconciliation because there are actually 5-6 adjustment entries because of the standalone, and then it gets consolidated, and then the way the forex thing gets reinstated and treated. So in case you want that detail, please reach out to our IR person, Mr. Jay, and he will be able to provide you that entire reconciliation.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for answering my question.
Yeah, pleasure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead. So, Ritesh Shah, I request you to kindly unmute your mic.
Yeah, hi. Apologies for that. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, on the MDF, I just wanted to clarify there are no one-offs related to plant shutdown or restart in this quarter. If there's a number, if you could give that, that would be quite helpful.
Sorry? No. So, we mentioned, it is a mix of three things which we mentioned. One, because we had built up inventories, which we mentioned in the last quarter also, that whenever we'll take a shutdown, we cannot be out of market. And the shutdown was totally dependent on our capability to first build up that much of stock so that at least we are 70-80% able to serve the market on the, you know, monthly requirement. So when actually the inventory gets built up, there is an over-absorption of overheads which results in slightly better margins. So in a way, if you can really see maybe quarter three, quarter four, or, you know, even quarter one this year, there can be a iota of an incremental margin which was partially due to the added inventory which we started keeping. So once you liquidate, that portion of the margin actually gets wiped out. So that is one. Second, as I said, that we had some non-moving inventory and very slow-moving inventory, which we used this as an opportunity by giving better target to the sales team so that they were pushed to, you know, somehow get rid of this inventory into the market by selling them at a higher discount. So that was the second reason. And the third was that despite whatever planning we did, we were still running out of some of the SKUs which would complete a particular order. So we went into some mode of trading also to, balance some of these SKUs. And, you know, when you get into the trading time, so automatically your margin on that will be much lower. So it was a culmination of all three, which resulted into, this drop of margin by almost 8 to 9% compared to quarter one. But now that these have gone up, we will be back to our 16% plus margin.
Sure. Sir, the second bucket, what you indicated, slow-moving inventory, can you highlight what sort of SKUs were there? The reason I ask is because historically we have maintained that we don't intend to be there much in the industrial side of things. So is this something that we had exposure or industrial, we had the inventory and we cleared that thing out? So is there some change in mix? How should we look at it?
Oh, I mean, we had old inventories. You know, when you are running the line, 1% of the production is degraded, so we had it piled up for 6 months. So we thought, you know, when our plant is shut, let's utilize and let's sell everything we have. So we cleared all our B grade back then. Then we cleared some thicknesses or some unique sizes when the team had given a projection for sales, but that did not sell since inception. So we thought that, you know, since instead of carrying that in our books, let's give whatever discount the market needs and let's actually liquidate that. So any old stock thing which was maybe a learning curve for us or maybe as a process it's produced, etc., was all cleared up during the
sale. Yeah, because it was only a learning curve, you can say, because initially what we started producing was clearly based on our sales team's forecast at that point of time. And some of the SKUs which we had much higher numbers in terms of forecast, but like how hardly we were able to sell. So those were the things which were not actually getting sold in the regular day-to-day thing. So this we got as an opportunity and window to push. That does not mean that if we were able to liquidate, we may still carry something out of that, but we took all our efforts to use this as an opportunity.
Yeah, so just to clarify, so we don't have any exposure to industrial grade MDF. Just wanted to clarify that.
We have exposure to it in interior grade or industrial grade MDF. We definitely have, but since, you know, we have a very strong brand and only one plant, our focus on that category is very low.
Okay. Sanjay, would it be possible to indicate, say, hypothetically on a full year volumes, what percentage of our volumes would fall under this part?
Around 35-40% should be, 35% should be in the interior industrial is the same thing.
Okay, that's helpful. So second question was, Manojji, you indicated that there is no pressure on the raw material side. Can you indicate how much was the resin cost increase this particular quarter? And I presume, like for us, what you indicated, second half margins, we are already factoring this cost increase, assuming stable prices. You indicated the margin profile. So just possible to understand how much was the chemical or resin price increases this quarter and how do we see that going forward?
So you talk about MDF, of course?
MDF. Yes.
Yeah. So in MDF, yes, the resin prices have gone up. Because of the tight competition, there is a pressure on the realization as well because of certain players undercutting. And these are the minuses for H2 and the plus for H2 is the fixed cost remains the same and we'll have a higher output. So, you know, whatever we were going to gain because of the fixed cost remaining same, we are now kind of, you know, both are getting, you know, null and void. So, you know, the loss because of the resin, not the realization, is kind of getting covered in the operating efficiency. Hence, we are commenting that, you know, we look at a 16% guidance for H2, what we had told in the beginning of the year.
Sure. So this just doesn't mean that the industry will follow suit. It is more because of our operational efficiencies you are guiding for the margins, what we are indicating. Would that be fair?
Yes, absolutely. You are right. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Great. So just two quick questions. Have you adopted any bundling strategies in the marketplace for ply and MDF together? That's one. And secondly, if you could give some numbers with respect to the JV for, say, second half of the fiscal and next year, what our targets are on revenue, EBITDA and PAT?
No, I mean, I've not understood. Bundling strategy means what? Actually, yes, we get the advantage that, you know, if there is a plywood dealer, we definitely have the sales team which, you know, takes a lead. So the MDF team takes a lead from the plywood team and tries and approach them and vice versa. But there is no bundling sales per se. And the second thing was on the JV portion. See, we have now achieved a run rate of around 4 odd crores per month. So for H2, for sure, we are looking at 25 crore plus, may go up to 30 crores, you know, because our dealer base is improving every month and our sales team expansion is also taking place now. For next year, we are looking at aggressively, if you ask us, we are looking at that possibly we'll be able to touch anything around 100 CR as a turnover. This year, maybe it will up at around 50-odd crores.
Sure. Sir, just to come back to the prior answer, what you indicated, our plants are stabilized, we are established brand, we have distribution, then why aren't we not going ahead with bundling strategies or incentive schemes to cross-sell, plan MDF to maximize sales? Any specific reasons, or is it something which is work in progress?
No, so first, Ritesh, you know, on this, today also if you see the overlap is only around 25% to 30%, okay, between the two. And second, as I said, that it is not easy, you know, because when you have different sales team, and so sometimes even, you know, the challenge faced by the sales team, so let's say if it's a plywood sales team, they themselves have 6, 7, 8 sub-brands to sell. At times they are not even able to do justice to that. If they are able to do justice, they will be actually be able to draw even better traction on the plywood business itself. So as I said that, you know, now we are using the service of some consulting house for last 12 months or maybe 15 months. We have been able to do a few more things in terms of measurables, in terms of making a very detailed sales plan for them, which is bringing in larger accountability and visibility. With these type of things, and this is just a quarter, you know, when we have done this. So I think the team is also getting used to it. The good part is that there is a lot of buoyancy in the team to accept this change in the culture and system. So this will give us rich dividend going forward. Once we are able to do it within the verticals, then I think the question really comes of, you know, cross verticals. We have discussed this so many times, but implementation of this is never easy.
Sure. Sir, thank you so much for the answers. I wish you all the very best. Thank you again.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. So I just want some clarification on your guidance. So you mentioned that you'll be able to do double-digit margin in MDF in H2 FY26 and 10% volume growth and 10% margin in H2 FY26 for plywood. Can you give an overall guidance for the complete FY26 for both the segments?
No, so let me repeat. For plywood, we are saying that 10% volume growth in H2, 10% plus volume growth in H2. Margins in H2 for sure would be better than the margin what we have delivered in H1. If the growth in plywood is higher double digits, then there is a good chance, basis our working, that we may touch 10% margin also in H2. That is on the plywood side. On the MDF, we are looking at a higher double-digit growth, and we are very confident now because we have been able to do the capacity expansion in Q2. And we are also saying that we will be able to deliver 16% plus margin in MDF for H2. For the full year, if we will have to work that, we have actually not seen it that way, but maybe for the full year, MDF, with this guidance, may reach around 14.5-15% margin for the full year, and in plywood it can be around, you know, 8.5-8.6%, you know, which looks quite possible.
Okay, and any guidance on the volume growth for the whole year?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, the H1 numbers are already there, so if you just add up these H2 numbers, you know, you will be able to work out the full year guidance numbers also accordingly.
Growth for MDF, what
we are talking about in any case for the full year also will be higher double digit. You know, and the margin, as I said, can be around 14.5 to 15% for the full year. Plywood full year growth, volume growth is only around, I think, 3.5% in H1.
Yeah,
3%, and we are talking of 10% plus. So it can be like, you know, 6.5 to 7% volume growth for the full year, and the margin can be around 8.5 or, you know, 8.7% for the full year type. 8.5 actually for the full year, it can be around 8.5.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parth Bhavsar from Invest Tech. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So, thank you for the opportunity. So, there is one clarification I wanted. Did you mention something in terms of, you know, revenue, EBITDA, PAT target for 27? So, can you just clarify that? Like, you mentioned a number of 100 crores per month. Is that right?
No. Someone asked a question on the projection for JV for next year.
Okay.
There I'm that, yes, this... For that full year, next year, we are targeting now 100 crores.
Okay.
This year, yeah.
Perfect. And then, sir, like in terms of, you know, any guidance for 27, anything, if you would like to give that, otherwise it's okay. I believe it's too soon.
Yeah, it's too soon. And I think we are focusing right now on, we are very excited with, you know, whatever efforts we have taken. That H2 will be definitely much better, both in terms of plywood as well as the MDF business. And once we have done that, then for sure, you know, we'll be able to give you the guidance sometimes in Q4 for next year.
And sir, anything on CAPEX, like are we, you know, anything on CAPEX that you can guide for 26 and 27? Is that possible?
For this year, I can tell you that, you know, we might end up investing another 100 odd crores in different pockets because one, we are actually doing some improvement in terms of our process in one or two plants on plywood. It's a change of process. It's an innovation where we are actually getting a total new line. Second, we are doing some level of line balancing on the plywood business again, which will call for some capex. Then third, our Odisha plant has also now is in the construction mode. So there will be a level of investment which will go into that. And then the investment on the PVC plant also. So these four, I think, are the major elements of CapEx in H2. All these together can take around almost plus some maintenance CapEx may actually take around 100 to 110 odd crores of outflow. Next year, actually, we don't have the number right now because it will depend on at what pace we are able to spend during this H2. Depending on the same, the balance amount will go to next year as CapEx, which is mainly Odisha plant for next year. Next year's balance CapEx is Odisha plant, and I think only some maintenance CapEx, nothing much as of now.
Hey, sir, one last question, sir. How is the Samet JV? How is it faring?
Well, it's improving every day. You know, we have been able to add dealers incrementally every month, and we are now also increasing our sales team force into the market. So we started with a very lean and thin team, and now we are adding people there also. So. I said that if you see in quarter two, we have almost achieved a run rate of around 4 odd crores per month. And we hope that this run rate moves to around 5 odd crores per month in H2. So things are only looking up there.
Perfect. Perfect, sir. Those are my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Karan Batelia from AMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, from Asian Market Securities. Thank you for the opportunity. Sanidhya, any clarity on the next leg of CAPEX for MDF? I mean, assuming we're growing at 15% plus volume year on. So when do we plan for a further big leg of capacity expansion for MDF? Will it be at the existing location or will be planning a joint plant at Odisha? Your thoughts on that?
I think, you know, we have all of that and definitely keep thinking and debating for the organization. Definitely, our land and license is kind of ready. For Rodra, we have additional land here for another time. We also have some space in Thunder. And we keep studying the fire. And we have to take a call sometime next 5 months, 6 months maybe. Or CapEx is also going to take time and then we stop growing in MDF and we don't take the time. So as of now, immediately, month or two. But yes, if the time is right, or maybe next year, as well, then we'll definitely announce.
We surely need the capacity to face in FY20. Okay. So, for that, yes, in the next 5 or 6 months for sure, we will have to finalize the place where we want to do it and the partner who would be there in terms of our machine supply and everything. And then we'll have to get going because the way we are growing in MDF, otherwise, as Raj Sanidhya is saying, FY28 growth will get hampered. FY27, we are comfortable, but FY28 growth will get hampered.
Right. So, also some clarification on the CAPEX. So, 100 crores incremental CAPEX in the second half, right? So, that will give us how much for the entire year? And does that include the investment in JV?
Yes, it includes the investment in JV. I missed that. So, it will include further investment in the JV also as the fifth element. We have almost spent around 56 crores in H1. So, it will be like almost 155 to 160 crores for the full year.
160 crores for full year, including the investment in JV.
The JV.
Right. Anything else apart from MDF and plywood, any other product category, laminates, particle board, you want to add in the Odisha CAPEX?
I think we have enough. The first thing is we have to bring the plywood back into the country growth. Clearly, and we have to at a higher double digit in MDF. So these are the things which we need to see in H2. And once we are done that, we also need to take our decision on the next line for MDF, which is a rightful question raised by someone. So all these things are most important. And then only maybe at some point of time, because see, Samet is a great business, the furniture hardware. And we also need to make sure that next year how we make sure that we are able to touch around 100 crore turnover in that business so that the year subsequent we are able to break even and start making money. Also, you know, in that business, the losses are today very high. The reason because almost 45-50% of the product is imported. So we have a phase 2, phase 3 expansion plan. Once that happens, then, you know, the margin profile is significant. Products which we are importing versus the same product which we start manufacturing in India, the margin profile changes significantly. There's nothing to worry about the type of losses, you know, which going into at this point of time. These are all planned, and also we continue to invest heavily on the marketing and branding side. We are present in which is happening on this, and we are also doing other branding activities. So we are very much on the plan of doing well in the furniture also going forward. So these are, you know, quite a bit of things already on the platform. At this point of time, we are thinking of any kind of ideas, at least for the next 9 to 12 months.
Great. I think that was insightful. Since there are no further questions, any closing remark you want to make, management team?
Yes. Thank you all for taking time to participate in this call. In case of any further clarification or queries, please feel free to reach us. Thank you.
On behalf of Asian Market Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.